Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you to this recording of our study number 9, the letter I, and we've been studying immersion for the past 2 lessons, and what we mean by immersion, according to the Word of God, is baptism. The word immersion is not found in the scriptures, but baptism is. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an ordinance. One of the ordinances was baptism. And what an ordinance is just a simple, just an order. It's an order. It's get this thing done and y'all do this. And the Lord left us an ordinance, 2 of them actually. One of them was communion, or the Lord's Supper, and the other one is baptism. And we'll get into the Lord's Supper on another lesson. But on this one, we have just to recap just a little bit and give you a little background, and you could probably give me background. But I think you got all the scriptures up today, and what we've been talking about is what is baptism. That was one of the topics that we began with when we started, and we went down through there, and we talked about sprinkling and pouring and immersion, and we looked at the scriptures to find out what exactly the mode of baptism is according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, and according to what God says. Well, we found out that the Bible does not say, "Thou shalt be immersed." It doesn't say it. It's not in there. But the Bible gives us all kinds of evidence concerning baptism about the mode in which it should be done. And you say, well, what's so important about the mode, Brother TV? Well, it's because the whole thing is an order for us, for some symbolism. The Lord left it there for it to mean something. When the Lord taught quite a bit, he taught in parables, and he taught by telling stories and giving symbolic examples of things so that you could imagine what he was talking about and make a picture of it in your mind. Well, and they were very important because they stood for very important things. I mean, this is God talking. Okay? It's not just us talking to one another. This is God's talking, God's Son talking. And when the Lord would say something, he knew that sometimes the disciples could understand, and sometimes that we could understand things, but sometimes we couldn't, and we needed a picture of things. But those, and he would give truths and lay out doctrines with pictures. But this particular doctrine of baptism stands for something very, very, very important. As a matter of fact, probably one of the most important things that we could study in the scriptures, one of the top ones, absolutely, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the new covenant that was coming in, that the Lord was instituting, and what the picture of salvation is going to be now. And you got to remember that there was a lot of Jews around at that time also. And the Jews require a sign, remember? And I think that's part of the reason that the Lord left that also, so that if there was any stragglers around, that they could see in the picture of that what the new believers were believing in, was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's very important, and for lots of reasons, and we're going to get into a topic of why we should be baptized, and that's going to be, I don't know if it'll be this lesson, but it's going to be not far from now. But today we're going to talk about who has the authority to baptize, and the scriptures aren't confusing about this matter either. Matter of fact, it's incredible how simple it is, but it's also incredible about how many people have died in history over this matter of baptism and the authority of baptism and what baptism is and what it stands for. There are some cults out there, right this very minute as we speak, that if they could, they would destroy people for not for not, what am I trying to say, for not submitting to their form of baptism and what they think about it. And in history, if you read your history, or some history anyway, or look it up, you can find out that there are some cults, false believers that have shed blood in the name of baptism. And I mean shed a lot of it. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of believers, Bible believers, have been put to death in the name of baptism. So it is a very important matter, but it because the Lord commanded it, number one. It's an order from the Lord. And it's not a choice of whether you want to or not. It's a choice that we mind our Lord and we do what he says. And the Lord always left examples and pictures of things behind so that others could know what the truth is. So this thing about the authority to baptize, it's not only very, very, very simple to those that believe, but it's also one of the most complicated things on the entire planet. And without understanding and confusion all throughout it and everything else and but this and but that and what about this and what about that, and they've just confused the matter just so much that nobody can understand it. But the thing that's coincidental about all these different confused people is that they never get in the Bible to see what it says. Because if you get in the Scriptures, it's very simple. And what it stands for is very simple. Why it's been placed is very simple. And the Lord didn't mean any kind of confusion about it at all. But that's usually how things go when it comes to whether you believe the Word of God and whether you do not believe the Word of God. The Lord is not, he doesn't operate on neutrality. He's not a neutral God. He's not relative, okay? Like this 2019 crowd that's coming up. And let's all get together and let's hold hands and everybody get along and let's say Jesus is love. And got no idea what they're talking about. Their Jesus of love is like their baptism. But what does the Bible say? Now, who has the authority to baptize? Well, the first thing is there's two facts that we need to keep in mind. When we began this study, we was talking about there being a Heinz 57 variety of baptism out there. I mean, you can get any kind of baptism you want to get. It's out there. Now, you want to be ducked in a mud hole, I bet you look it up in the book. You look it up in the phone book, you can find somebody to dunk you in a mud hole and say you're saved and you're going to heaven. Or whatever. There's people out there that are baptizing for dead people that have gone on into eternity. Some of them in hell, some of them in heaven, and some of them and people that are still alive, they're being baptized in the name of dead people. There's people baptizing babies and got no idea why. And it's on different authorities of baptism. They kicked the Lord all the way out of the authority of being baptized, and they bring in a fake that's the head of the cult, and he's the authority of the baptism. So you see all kind of mixed up Heinz 57 variety of baptisms in the religious world today. And we talked about that when we started this study. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 and 4 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In other words, you're letting people come in there and teach you new things or tell you new things outside of the Word of God that's causing you confusion and getting you all mixed up. He said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. These are very important facts for us to keep in mind when we're studying the Word of God and to remember. Because if the enemy can confuse you on the matter of baptism, he will. Anything but the truth. He wants more than ever to take the Word of God out of your life. And if he can do it by tricking you with baptism and what baptism is and what it stands for and blabbity blobbity blibbity blab, then he will. But according to Ephesians 4:5, there's only one baptism. That's the Word of God. That's what it says. That's what the God the Holy Ghost authored and wanted us to know concerning baptism, that there is only one. So all of them cannot be right. Now, the one I'm going to follow, I don't know about you. It's a free world. You do what you want to do. But I recommend the one in the Bible. And I recommend following what the Scriptures say, no matter what. Okay? And if you follow what the Scriptures say and you obey the Scriptures according to the Scriptures, then you are obeying the Lord. And we should obey God rather than men when it comes to the matters of what the Bible says and doctrinal matters. Okay, now, who has the authority to baptize? Well, according to the Bible, the authority to baptize was given to the church. And when we say church, we're not talking about a building. If you don't know what the church is, we studied the church back in the letter C, and if you haven't heard it yet, then this thing will revolve around and you'll get to hear it. Or you can contact me and I will send it to you and send you the audios on it, and also in written form if you'd like, or you can get in your Bible and study what the church is. But the church is not a building. It is an organism. It lives. What it is the body of Christ. And what is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. The born-again, baptized believers are the body of Christ. And they are what is called the church. It's not a building. It's not a woo floating around out there somewhere and imaginary church or the world church or the this, that, and the other. The church is simply the body of Christ, and it's made up of people, but a specific kind of people, born again people, people that have believed and trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have been born again into the family of God and adopted into the family of God. Very simple, very simple. That's what the church is, and that is the body of Christ. Now, just before the Lord ascended back to heaven, he left orders. And what we call orders, the word orders is not in the Bible, but the word ordinance is. He left a couple ordinances for us. He left two of them, as a matter of fact, and I mentioned what they were a while ago. One of them is baptism, and one of them is the Lord's Supper. Okay, well, we're particularly talking about baptism right now, and he left orders for his work to be continued. Now, when the Lord was here, and he began his ministry around 30 years old, and he ministered and preached and healed and taught and baptized for 3.5 years before he went to the cross and died for our sins and made the eternal payment. Okay, before he went, he left orders to continue his work. Now, we can find that written in all four Gospels and the Acts, okay? And we're going to read those, and I'm going to read them to you. Now, these orders are given, and Matthew recorded it, Mark recorded it, Luke recorded it, and John recorded it. And in the book of Acts, it's also recorded. So let's read those. And the authority to baptize was given to the church. Now keep that in mind, the body of Christ. And as we read the scriptures, listen for what the orders are. And listen what the commandment is, what the Lord is telling us. And listen for who he is telling it to, okay? All right, so the first one we're going to talk about is a read is Matthew chapter 28. In verse 19 and 20, and you've probably heard this so many times, but, you know, sometimes we read the scriptures and we know it so well that we pass over the truth in it and we just don't realize it. And, you know, that's human, but, let's look at it. Now, remember what we're looking for. We're looking for, what the orders are, that the Lord's giving and who he's giving them to. He said, "Go ye." Now, who's he talking to? Who's the ye? He's talking to the disciples. He said, "Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them." Is that an order or is that a suggestion? What's it sound like? It's an order, isn't it? He said, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that verse, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's giving out the commandment, fixing to go back to be with the Father. And he's given out the commandment there. He's given it to the beginning of the church, the apostles, the disciples there. And he's given that commandment to them. And what is the commandment? To go and to teach and to baptize and to get people saved and to give the gospel out. Okay, the next one is Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. This is Mark writing. He said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Remember, we read that and we studied that and talked about it and discussed it on our last lesson. So the order there is to get people saved, preach the gospel to every creature, get people saved, and baptize them. Okay, now it said that, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." Okay, that was Mark's writing about what the Lord said. Now here's Luke's, chapter 24, verse 46 through 48. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day." There's the gospel. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." Okay, so in there, Luke said that the Lord said that in his name that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And Matthew and Mark said, along with that, we are to be baptized. Okay, now John spoke about it in chapter 17 and verse 18. He says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Of course, we know that was the Lord praying in John chapter 17, and he was talking to his heavenly Father, and he was telling his heavenly Father, he said, "As you sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world." And who is them? Well, them is the church. It's the body of Christ. It's us. It's the born-again, baptized believers that have trusted in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for our sins to give us eternal life, according to the scriptures. Now, in John chapter 20 and verse 21, I know this is a lot of scripture, but we love scripture, don't we? In John chapter 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Okay, so we definitely see a commandment there, don't we? The Lord didn't say if you want to, or if you can, or if you happen to have some time, or this, that, and the other. It was a definite matter of fact, this is what I have done, this is what I want you to do. Okay. Now in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about who has the authority to baptize. Now what have you learned so far? We've learned that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have all identified with something that the Lord said about taking the gospel to all nations and teaching them and preaching to them the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what we've learned so far. Who has the authority to baptize? According to all of the men that we have read just recently, who has the authority to baptize? The Lord gave the authority to the church, didn't He? He gave the authority to the church, the body of Christ. That's us. That's us. Now in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea." That's moving away from Jerusalem, outside into the land outside of Jerusalem. And in Samaria, that's the land outside of Judea, going farther and farther out. And then he said, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And today, if you've done a little study concerning where the gospel is, the gospel is in every place on earth, just about. And if it's not somewhere, then I don't know where to tell you it's not. Because it's, I think the last time it's in been translated into over 200 languages, and I think it was 160, or it might be backwards, 160 dialects. I'm not sure I have to look it up. I have it written down, and I have put it into the studies, but it's in another study concerning that. I think it was in B whenever we were talking about the Bible, about where the gospel, where the Word of God is. But either way, what we're finding out today is who has the authority to baptize. The authority to baptize was given to the church, the body of Christ. We don't have any doubt about that. We've just read five different books concerning what the Lord said, not what we imagine and not what we hear anybody else say or any other cult or any other religion. What does the Bible say? Well, from what we have read, the Lord gave it to the church. It was His disciples He was talking to every single time. And what He was talking about was giving them orders. He said, "I have done this, now I want you to do this." And He gave them orders. And not only to go out and preach the gospel and get people saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, but also to baptize them. Now, the Lord spoke these words to His disciples. However, if He gave this commission only to the disciples then that were present, and you can hear some of that foolishness going on in the world. Well, He told them to. He didn't tell us to. A bunch of childlike talk. However, if the Lord only gave the commission to the disciples then, it no longer applies. It's not valid today because they're dead. They're gone. And they can't lead anybody to the Lord anymore, and they can't baptize anymore. So the Lord Jesus Christ gave the commission, the Great Commission, to His church and the body of Christ corporately. In other words, He gave it to all the ones that were present where He was beginning the commission and the commandment, and all the people that would come after Him that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way up to this present second, the body of Christ, this very second. The commandment was given to the church. Is the church gone? Is it disappeared? Absolutely not. The church is still here. I'm here, you're here, we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and have trusted Him, right? According to the Scriptures, we are the body of Christ, right? The church is here, alive and well. in a different time, yes. But does that diminish the Lord's commandment? No. It's still valid. The command and authority to preach, baptize, and to teach all nations was given to His church, the body of Christ, that's us, not to man-made religious organizations and their opinions about what baptism is. Most of the corrupt versions of what baptism is, if you trace it back into the past, they began at immersion and the way that the Bible instructs baptism to be. I would even venture to say all of them, but most of them have deviated from what the Bible teaches and what we're learning today. What's that tell you? The Bible didn't change. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ walked 60 miles from Galilee to Judea to receive the right baptism from the right authority, which was who? John the Baptist. Now, he obviously thought that baptism was important. And it is important today and still commanded for those that believe. Now, we studied that back in the lesson letter C under the church. And it was very simple and very good and very plain and understandable. And the Lord is not the author of confusion, and His intention is to never confuse us. So what have we learned so far? Who has the authority to baptize? Well, the first thing that we learned today is that there are a lot of Heinz 57 varieties out there that we need to be careful of. And the Bible says, lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's warning us not to move away from the simplicity of the Word of God. And he's not talking about simplicity as in retarded or stupid. He's talking about simplicity as in the Lord not authoring any confusion. Okay? Now, then we talked about who has the authority to baptize. Very simple. The Bible teaches it. We've been over it 5 books already. And we went straight to the Scriptures. We never said what we think. We never made any kind of assumptions. We just read the Scriptures. And they all intertwined, and all 4 men said the same thing, even though they said different things. It's the Lord's commandment, the commandments to the church, to the body of Christ. And what's the commandment? Go and preach the gospel and baptize them and teach them. Very simple, isn't it? Praise the Lord for truth, huh? The Lord's not the author of confusion. I get confused enough about things, and this world is very confusing to me because I don't even try to understand it anymore. It's gotten so corrupt, it's not worthy of trying to understand anymore. There's deceit everywhere, like in the book of Jeremiah where it says, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. We live in the middle of deceit. Everywhere you go, when you walk out your front door and you go into that noisy, wicked world out there and start moving around in it, there's deceit everywhere. That's the way of life out there now. Okay, but we're instructed not to be deceived. All right, now, another thing about this thing about who has the authority to baptize. There are 4 requirements for baptism to be scriptural. Okay? Now, let's look at it. The Lord didn't mention them. Well, He did kind of secondarily in what we just got through reading about His commandments. But there are 4 scriptural requirements for baptism to be scriptural in the Lord's eyes. Okay? What's the first one? Well, let's read John Chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Baptism one requirement for being baptized, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, that was the main issue between him and Philip when they were discussing this matter of baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized, and he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized right now?" And Philip brought the scriptures to his attention and brought the gospel to his attention and says, "What do you think about this?" Excuse me. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he believed on there was a requirement for him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. And Philip said, "Okay, fine." He said, "Now we can go down into the water." And they did. So the Bible says that the first requirement in John 3:7, that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted himself. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." So the first requirement in order for you to be scripturally baptized and immersed is that you have to be born again. Let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Have you been born again? That's not a hard question. It's not a trick. It's a very simple question. And you know whether you have or not. You might not know where you was or exact time that it happened any kind of the particulars, but you can either answer that yes or no. Now, the enemy tries to make you doubt your salvation, and we get into that when we one of these other studies, and we have already talked about it in the assurance of salvation in the letter A. Okay, but the thing about it is if you had to stand on one side of a line or the other and answer the question of whether or not you've been born again, which side of the line would you stand on if you had to stand on one side of the line? Which one would you say that is the truth? Has there ever been a time in your life to where you have prayed with all the sincerity you know how, and you have asked the Lord to save you from your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on Jesus Christ as the Son of God and believed that He came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and then went to the cross of Calvary on purpose to shed His blood and His body be broken open for your sake so that He could pay the eternal payment for sins, to pay for your sins because you couldn't pay for them. Do you believe that? If you do believe that, has there ever been a time that you asked the Lord to save you, from your sins on the conditions of that truth? Have you ever done that? If you have, then God has kept His word, because He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did you call on His name? If you did, then you are born again, and you meet the first qualification of being scripturally baptized. Okay, secondly, is found in Mark chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible said, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." We read that. We read that earlier in this study, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. And also in Acts chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, "And he commanded the chariot," what we was just talking about, "to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water," in the water and out of the water, remember, "the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." Two manners of baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ here and the eunuch being baptized. And in comparison, comparing these two verses, both of them were baptized in the water, coming up out of the water because there was much water there. And when John the Baptist was talking about over in Jordan, because there was much water there. The second thing is the mode of baptism. According to the Bible that we've already looked at and already proved the mode of baptism, it must be by immersion. The candidate must be saved, he must be born again, and he must be baptized by immersion. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it mention, say, refer to, or even lean towards anything having to do with being sprinkled whatsoever or water poured on you whatsoever, no matter what anybody says, no matter what time, no matter what their authority in wherever and whatever, blabbity, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. The Bible says it's immersion. And immersion is symbolic and very important and commanded by the Lord that you be baptized and in the manner that he was baptized and for the picture of what it represents. Very important. And the Lord thought it was important. We should think it's important. So the first thing is that you must be born again. And the second thing is that you must be baptized, immersed in water, to represent what has saved you, not that it be part of saving you. It represents something that has already taken place, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what has happened to you, that you have been buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen? Simple. The third thing is, it's found in Romans chapter 6, 4 through 5. The Bible says, therefore we are buried with him. I guess if I'd quit talking so much that I could just read these scriptures and they would teach us, wouldn't they? And they still are. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like, did you get that? Like the likeness, remember that? A picture? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. All of it symbolic. No part of it has anything to do with your salvation of whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. It's representing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're showing everybody out there by being immersed and baptized that way, you're showing what your Savior did in order for this to be possible for you to believe in. And that you have believed in it and that you are testifying to the fact that you have been buried with Jesus and that your body is dead and that you have been circumcised by God the Holy Ghost and that you have been born again and God the Holy Ghost dwells in you and that you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Symbolic to everybody that's watching and gives glory to God again because of what Jesus has done. Very simple. So a candidate must be saved, born again. Now we're talking about four requirements for baptism to be scriptural. You got to be born again. You have to be immersed in water. And it's got to be symbolic only. Now you say, why is that mentioned? Because there's other cults and religions in the world today that tell you that if you're not baptized, you're going to hell. That makes baptism very, very important in their eyes, doesn't it? I mean, what if nobody will baptize you? Then you're going to hell. What if you can't get nobody to baptize you? And if you can get somebody to baptize you, what are they going to require from you in order for you to get this baptism so you can get to heaven? You see how that works? Jesus said that it's symbolic. Jesus said that nobody could be born again unless they come to him, that you couldn't get to the Father except through him. That's salvation. And then he said this thing about being immersed in water is symbolic because if man was in control of it, he'd charge you. And that's exactly what he's doing. Okay, it gets wicked whenever it gets outside the Word of God and gets away from simplicity. The Lord never charges you for salvation. It's absolutely free. And if He didn't charge you for salvation, didn't charge you for His shed blood, and didn't charge you for His broken body, He's sure not going to charge you for being, or put you in a tight place or a tight fix or a confusing situation when it comes to being immersed or sprinkled or poured on. Whatever. It must be symbolic. You cannot be baptized thinking that it's going to be part of your salvation. Remember the thief? That's what the Bible says now. The Bible said that thief went to paradise and he was not baptized. But he did believe on Jesus and get born again. And he had God's promise, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had His promise that He was going to paradise today. Aren't you glad of that? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him." We got promises too. And the last thing is that it has to be carried out by the Lord's assembly, the church, the body of Christ. The instructions and the commandment and the commission was given to the church to exercise. It was not given to anybody outside of the church. You don't go somewhere else outside of the church to be baptized. You are baptized by the body of Christ and the church. And there are all kinds of different people in different places in the world, and the Lord made it very easy. He said that it's just something that has to be done within the church and the body of Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Who's he talking to? He's talking to all the disciples. He's talking to all the followers that were born, that have been following him for those 3.5 years. Okay? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Very simple. Who has the authority to baptize? What would you say? What's your answer? Right. It's the church, the body of Christ. And who's the body of Christ? Who's the church? The ones that have been born again? The ones that, if you've been born again, you're already in the body of Christ. But then the body of Christ obeys the Lord, gets immersed in water for a picture symbolically of what has saved them and where that power of salvation comes from. And then it is only symbolism, not only as in not important, but only as in not having anything to do with salvation or going to hell. It must be symbolic and not part of salvation and represent the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it needs to be carried out by the Lord's assembly. Whoever's in the, you'll notice that the pastors of the local assemblies usually are the ones that do that, but the commandment was given to the body of Christ. And if you are part of the body of Christ, then you are the one that the Lord gave commandment to go into the world and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Given to the church, okay? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. And we've learned quite a bit today, haven't we? And it's not offended me one bit. Matter of fact, I'm encouraged by it, aren't you? So let me say this. Are you born again? Have you been baptized? Simple question. Have you? Have you been scripturally baptized? Remember what the requirements are, and we read the scriptures to prove it. You must be born again. It must be by immersion in water. Doesn't the Bible teach that? Yes. Okay, and it must be symbolic. Have you been thinking that your baptism had something to do with your salvation? Well, you've just found out that the Bible teaches that it does not. It has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation, with the exception of being symbolic and a symbol and a picture of what saved you and who saved you and how he saved you. Okay? And was it carried out by the assembly, by the church, the body of Christ? Okay, well, if you know in your heart and God the Holy Ghost will lead you, he'll lead you into all truth. And if some of this needs to be corrected or you need to be baptized, then you need to be baptized. Bottom line, the Lord commanded it and he has reason for doing it. And we know some of those reasons, but we don't have to ask the Lord and have explanation from the Lord all the time and require explanation from him to do what we're told. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. So that's what we require of our children. Why would you think the Lord would want to sit down and discuss this thing a million times? He's already said it. It's been 2,000 years. Get baptized because the Lord said so. And now you know why, and now you know how, and now you know who. Isn't that simple? Praise God for his word. His word is wonderful. Okay, next thing we're going to talk about on the next lesson is why should we be baptized? And we've already been over and discussed a lot of this, but we're going to go over it specifically and show you that you should be baptized if you've not been baptized. Okay? All right. Well, we'll stop right there. Thank you for listening in today. And God bless you for studying God's word. May the Lord provide a roof over your head and food in your cabinets and for health for your children and your family and for strength for your spirits and health for your flesh, that that the Lord would be kind to you and that you would fall in love with the Lord and fall in love with his word. So thank you for listening to this. I really enjoy studying with y'all. And I thank you for putting up with my whatever you want to call it. So until the next recording, be sure to listen in now. Well, I didn't give you the scriptures. I'll give them to you on the next one. Sorry. Bye-bye.